When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. When it's time to get some new windows or a new door, you got to go with Pella. Why? Because they can provide window and door solutions to any home, and because of the people. The people are great. Brian, Clint, Steve, Vince, the whole gang, everybody with Pella, awesome individuals. And you know what else is great? You're going to be working with those awesome individuals the entire time. Do you realize, I didn't know this, but do you realize when you work with some other window companies, all of a sudden questions pop up like, who's installing it? Who's going to pre-finish it? And you got to call that person. You got to get in touch with them and you got to call them. Nope, they do that. They do this. Ugh. All of a sudden you're dealing with like four or five different people. That's awful. You want the convenience and simplicity of working with one company, not three or four. That's Pella. Check them out on the web, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. All right, on the pod today, we got my former roommate at Creighton. He's been with, like nine, I think, NBA teams now. He's Anthony Tolliver. He is just an outstanding human being. Great basketball player, obviously. And I wanted to catch up with AT. Wanted to get a sense of, hey, what's this time like for an NBA player? Being quarantined, social distancing, trying to stay in shape, trying to make sure you stay ready for it, you know, the season if it comes back, whatever it is. I mean, what's all this like from an NBA player's perspective? And I wanted to touch on Anthony's thoughts on a lot of this stuff happening with Tyshawn Alexander entering the draft, also the Jalen Green G League decision that he made, one of the top 10 high school players in the country, elected to go sign a $500,000 contract to play in the G League for this new developmental program that they're creating rather than going to college. Just get Tolliver's thoughts on a bunch of different things. So I figured I'd hit up my guy A-Train. So without further ado, let's get to it. Here is my podcast chat with Anthony Tolliver. I will. I know you got... You got like 65 little kids running around, so I'll knock this out and get you on your way, okay?
Well, good thing is, right, that's why I strategically place a lot of my phone calls between 1:30 and 3:30, because that is quiet time, nap time, slash not running around time. So
I love it. I love it. Well, you know what? I actually... We're going to keep all this in because I like that answer. So we're off and running right now. Okay, so we are off and running. Are you... Where are you quarantined right now? Where are you at?
We are in Texas at our home in Texas, outside of Dallas.
Okay.
So that's home, brother.
So I guess before we get to basketball, business, all this other stuff, how are you guys doing? I mean, you got four kids, you got your wife Jessica. Like, everybody good? Everything? Are you guys safe and healthy?
Yes. Yeah, we're good. Just just really fortunate and blessed to have the resources that we have, and have the house that we have. And obviously when we built this house, we didn't ever intend on quarantining in it,
Sure.
But it just happened to be that we have a really great setup for that. I built a small little workout facility.
Okay.
My garage, where have multiple machines and pull-up bars and all kinds of stuff, so can get the workouts in the garage, and I have a pool, and so that's dope. And then my dream was always to have like a half court indoor gym. Well, my real dream was to have a full court.
Sure,
it's too expensive. So I settled for a half court. So for me and my kids and my family, it's it's literally quarantine heaven.
If right.
If there ever was one, I guess.
But, yeah.
But yeah, it's great. That part has been great to have those different resources to help with the kids and stuff. But we've just been trying to, make the most out of the whole whole situation.
Yeah, because my next question was going to be, how are you staying in shape? Because I'd imagine that's got to be really challenging for a lot of guys in the league right now. Number one, you don't know when you're going to resume or if you're going to resume, but you got to kind of stay in shape. You know, that's one thing to do push-ups and, you know, sit-ups and pull-ups or whatever. It's another thing to actually get a basketball in your hands and shoot. It sounds like you're all good in that regard. What, I mean, how have you kind of gone about, like, working out? I mean, just because you don't know, who knows? You, listen, AT, it's not out of the question that the season's done and y'all don't play again until next year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the part of it. You know, my nature is I'm a worker.
Yeah.
So for me, it has been kind of been a weird, difficult, like, mix. But I have definitely, been more on the side of like chilling, you know what I'm saying? Like, which is hard for me. Like,
right.
It actually is, like, you know,
yeah,
obviously it's like, but normally there's a clear timeline. And whenever there's a clear timeline, I have a clear plan,
yes,
right? And I've followed a clear plan in every offseason pretty much my entire career. And it's worked for me, right?
Right.
It's like, you know, hey, after the season's over, I'm going to take some time off, chilling,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, nothing. Like, not, don't touch a weight, don't run, don't, nothing. Maybe walk with my wife, that's about it.
Yeah.
There's a dog, right? That's it, chilling. Then outside of that, you know, in the regular off season, I know, okay, this first month, I'm chilling. This next 2 weeks, okay, now it's more, okay, ramp up, you know, just to get the body moving, woken up, right?
Yep.
2 or 3 days a week, I'll work out. And then the next couple of weeks is I ramp up a little bit more. Then the following month, I ramp up a little. So then by the time I'm hitting, you know, getting into, you know, training camp, I've done, you know, two a days,
mm-hmm,
and I've done all the stuff. You know what I'm saying? I ran, you know. But now it's like, dog, like, all right, we'll have to balance this out. Like, I definitely don't want to burn out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, if for somehow, some way, the season does come back, I don't want to waste this time either.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of been a balancing act for me to try to put in the work, but just make sure I'm not doing it daily, and I'm not doing like two a days,
right,
and stuff like that. I'm just, you know, doing something daily, and I've been trying to eat really healthy, and you know, ironically enough, I've actually lost about 8 to 10 pounds. So, but it's been on purpose, you know, just
right,
less weight and just trying to maintain that.
How has it been for you in, I know for me, just a regular civilian, you know, you like when the quarantine and everything first broke, man, I was on my phone all day, every day, reading every story possible. Oh, here comes a press conference. I got to consume everything that's going on. And like, I found that just like, I lost my mind, dude. Like I totally lost,
yeah,
my mind. It was just like going crazy with it. So there's a balance of like trying to stay up to speed with like with everything versus whether or not that's good for your mental health. What have you found for that, especially as it pertains to sports and your job in getting ready to play? Like, how have you kind of struck a balance with those two things?
So as far as sports and my job and all that stuff is, you know, being part of the NBPA, I'm kind of in the know of kind of what's going on behind the scenes.
Yes.
And so we have calls, you know, weekly, usually, about what's going on. And, you know, it'll slow down a little bit now because now we got some stuff figured out. I'm sure you saw last week that we agreed to like, you know, hey, scale back on,
yep,
on paychecks until further notice type thing. You know, but it was, so we were really, you know, almost every other day talking about that for a while. So that part of it is pretty easy to kind of stay up on board. Obviously my wife, you know, Jessica, she's a PA by trade. And so she's, you know, she's very familiar with, you know, medical things. Like, I'm not real super smart when it comes to that stuff. So
right,
I kind of lean on her to, you know, read everything, read all the signs and read,
yeah,
read everything that's going on. And we kind of, we just follow her lead as far as, all right, what do you think we should do? How should we move? How should we shake? Right.
Yep.
And for me, honestly, I don't turn on the news. Like,
yeah,
I don't. And,
right,
and that's the reason why. There for the first few days, that's all I was doing. Same thing, just consuming. Oh my gosh, is this the end? You know,
right.
It's like low key, like what's the heck going on? And you know, I quickly realized this is not the way to live. This is not the way to live a life. And B, that's not gonna do me any good.
No,
right? Because you go to one source, you go to, you know, one news outlet, it's saying one thing. Go to another one, it's saying another. You read one article, it says this. Another one does it. So it's like, all right, you kind of have to start by identifying who you're going to follow, right? Because we're not scientists, we don't know.
No,
right? You, my wife, none of us, my neighbors, none of us know exactly what's going on. Some people think, it's not really a big deal. They're making way bigger of a deal than others, right? Then others are saying, no, this is a huge deal. Now, these people who are doing this are crazy. This
right.
is that. It's like, so I'm like, bro,
which is it?
Where am I at?
Right.
I don't know where I'm at on that spectrum. Like, you know, I think everybody's crazy for you know, wanting to, you know, get back to normal and stuff like that. I mean, I understand why, mm-hmm. but is it safe? I don't know. Like, right. I don't really know. Like,
I know. It's horrible.
It's tough. It yeah. really is. It's really tough. But, you know, for me, it's just like, you know what? Yeah, we're doing the quarantining thing. We're doing the social distancing thing. Even yep. whenever we are around other people yep. or a friend comes over to drop off something, it's like, you know, hey, bro.
Yeah, air five. Yeah.
You know, I'll talk to you for 3 hours, but just I'm not about to be all up in your face and
yeah,
you and mine.
Right, so, right.
You know. Just for that. So I don't know, man. It's tough. I don't know.
Okay, so you being a part of the NBA Players Association, I'm sure you can't divulge all of the nature of what you guys have been discussing with regards to resuming the season, but is there anything you can kind of give us insight into where, like, how that's trending, what that looks like, or is that more the same thing if everybody's like, man, I don't know. We got to kind of wait and see what everything kind of looks like. Because I thought I heard Adam Silver talk about Memorial Day kind of being like a big date to try and get things started. But, I mean, shoot, all of a sudden that's like a month away. So, I mean, I guess, is there anything you can share in with that?
Yeah, I mean, there's what I can share is really not like breaking news.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like, it's literally like, from week to week, it's been like, oh, wow, I feel really confident that things are going to happen. The next week, it's like, oh, crap, I don't know if we're coming back even, you know, to start next year.
Right.
Like, so,
yeah.
Like, every week is very kind of unique in and of itself. It's been a crazy, crazy roller coaster as far as that side of things goes. But, I mean, just for the most part, though, I mean, I would just say, no, I mean, there's nothing.
Gotcha. I figured there wasn't, you know? Right.
Yeah. Like, I know that, you know, they floated around June 15th as kind of a D day.
Gotcha.
Right? They floated that around. Not necessarily that's set in stone, but that's kind of like, all right, if there has to be basically a final decision made in or around that time.
Okay.
Because otherwise, it's going to be getting too late to even resume anything. Right. For this season. So, you know, put it that way. If there's nothing definitive by that date, it's pretty much done.
That's kind of what I figured.
That's kind of a general thing that's not like I said, it's not really breaking news, you know, but at the same time, it's not even something that is 100% accurate. Right. I'm just saying that has been floated around as a possible D-Day of, okay, we need a decision by then.
Right. What about, I mean, because you have, you know, the great thing about you is that you wear a lot of different hats. You're Anthony Tolliver, the NBA basketball player. You're also Anthony Tolliver, the entrepreneur and businessman. You and Dane got Big Blanket. I know you got your hands in a bunch of other things. So certainly coronavirus has impacted all those things. What about like Anthony Tolliver, the businessman? What has that been like in managing the business side of this stuff for some of your other little ventures you got rolling?
That side has been pretty freaking crazy.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to develop a new like rhythm. It's built up some tension and pressure even on my marriage at the moment.
Sure.
because like during the basketball season or even in the off season, I have a rhythm, right? Mm-hmm. Like I have a rhythm. I know what's going on. I know when I'm going to take calls and I'm not going to take calls, you know. But like kind of right now, like with all this stuff, I mean, there's been so much stuff that has just built up, you know, business-wise, you know, the MBPA. So I've had phone calls with that. I've had also phone calls with, you know, multiple things within the MBPA, multiple other businesses who are doing things that require a lot of time on the phone and effort and this and that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's just everything kind of all at once. And everybody knows, obviously, everybody's quarantining, so everybody's like, well, let's get on the phone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's like, dang, like, all right, I gotta do a better job of just, like, recalibrating my balance, you know, because, you know, for me, you know, it's about the kids and the wife and all that stuff and making sure that that time is sacred, mm-hmm. and then building around that, you know, because it kind of got flipped upside down. So as far as, like, yeah, business stuff goes, like, Big Blanket has been affected by it, right?
Sure.
But in a positive way. We've actually been crushing it.
Okay.
So, you know, so, and then other companies, you know, our fishing company, it's, you know, our retail sales are down, but our online sales are up like 50% or 75%, okay. You know? So it's just like, it's changing, and it's just like being able to adapt to this new normal, for now, at least until we figure out what the heck's going to happen in the future. I think is, you know, it's going to basically determine whether or not our businesses make it or don't.
You've had you've had quite the career in the NBA in terms of, I think I counted up 9 different teams. Is that what it is? Are you up to 9? Is that what, is that?
It's 10 now.
Okay. Look at you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you realize I played for Memphis to finish the,
that's what I was going to add. That's what I was going to say. Like even for Anthony Tolliver standards this year,
I'm telling you that because it's funny. I'm not even, it's not really even a joke because there's a lot of people that I know and who are in my circle who, some of my family members.
They don't,
like,
know?
Yeah. So, you know, so, man, you were up in Portland when it got canceled. I'm like, bro, I've been on 2 different teams since Portland.
I'm not going to lie. So, I had to Google and double check. I was like, okay, I knew he's in Portland. I thought he went to Sacramento. I think he's like, I had to double check all that stuff. The reason I asked is even for you, the journeyman, like, this has been a crazy year even for your standards. Like, what has this year been like for you from Portland to Sacramento and then being in Memphis?
Oh, man, it's been freaking insane.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, you know, first of all, that's only the second time out of all these years, all these different teams I've ever been on or whatever it may be, that was only the second time I've ever been traded in my career.
Really?
So a lot of people, you know, people who don't really understand how the NBA works, you know, and I don't correct them because I don't really want to take the time to explain everything, but they're like, oh man, you got traded to such and such. I'm like, yeah, right. But I didn't get traded, actually signed as a free agent.
Right.
They don't understand that,
no.
But I'm not going to just, oh no, actually, you know what? It's actually this, like, no, yeah, I got traded. You know, so,
just easier to say, yep.
Think,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Most people think I've gotten traded like 15 times. Like, I've only been traded twice. The first time was 6 years ago-ish, right? Whenever mm-hmm. I was in Phoenix, got traded to Detroit, which at the time I thought was the worst thing ever. Ended up being one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Yep.
And then this time, getting traded from Portland to Sac, right? And I go to Sac, I'm there. Originally wasn't even really planning on going and reporting. I was going to just get a buyout and try to go somewhere else, but you know, they're like, hey, you know, we'd love to have him back, and you know, we feel like there's an opportunity here, blah blah blah, right? And it just never came around. So I was, you know, about a month into it, I was like, all right, I want out, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, which was crazy because this is the first time in my career I've ever asked to be, you know, let go and get out of the contract. And so, you know, what was the craziest part of it was, it was the first time in my career where I was saying, all right, I want out, but I don't have a landing spot. I didn't have a place to go. I was like, this could be the end, right?
Oh, Lord.
Which
yeah.
is crazy. It was
yeah.
it was crazy, man. It was ironically the last game I had with Shaq, and I knew I was going to get bought out the next day, was against Memphis. Okay. And I was like, wow, this could literally be my last game. And I remember thinking, sit on the bench because, you know, yeah. I wanted out because I wasn't playing.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm 34, and if I don't play, I die, right? Like,
yeah.
This is how careers end, right? So I'm like, all right, I need out. I'm looking over at our opponent on that Friday night. I'm thinking, wow, Memphis could really use me, actually. That's crazy. But I was thinking, like, wow, my career could be over. You know, hey, it's been a great run. You know, literally had Jessica fly in from Portland. Saturday morning, we literally were going to drive to Napa, have some wine, chill out,
right.
Enjoy it. Like almost a celebration,
mm-hmm.
but not like a celebration, right? Like, all right, if it continues after this weekend, cool. If it doesn't, all good.
Wow.
Like, just, hey, let's just go to Napa, enjoy ourselves, drink some wine, and
yeah.
have a great time. Bro, tell me why driving on the way to Napa, my agent's like, hey, bro, teams are calling already. I'm like, I'm thinking, like, that's great, but
yes.
I'm like, bro, I'm trying to have a good weekend.
Yeah, come on, you're messing this up. Jessica's giving you that look, like, oh, Lord, come on.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
So it was like, this. I'll tell you the plan. So this is the plan. We're going to have a great night, you know what I'm saying? Go have a couple wineries,
yeah.
go to a couple wineries, and, you know, drink some great wine, have a great dinner, great, you know, just
yeah,
a great
romantic,
night.
Romantic, all
wake
that, yeah.
next morning,
yeah.
drive up the coast to Portland. See the family. I hadn't seen the kids for like 6 or 7 weeks.
Oh.
So I'm thinking, man, this is about to be the great weekend.
Right.
See the kids. And then maybe next week, you know, somebody will call and want me to pick me up for somebody from the playoffs or something, right? That's what I'm thinking.
Yep.
Bro, I'm literally lit in the middle of the wine tasting and the Memphis Grizzlies coach like calls me. I know him, but he calls me like, yo, you know, how soon can you get here? I'm like, well, I can't leave today. I said, as soon as I can get there, bro, this is possibly leave tomorrow. And so we started working on it. And
wow.
Sure enough, man, ended up flying from Napa Valley
yep.
To all the way over to Atlanta, directly to Atlanta. And then met them while they're on the road. Still didn't get a chance to see my kids, you know.
Yeah.
But still
God,
met them,
crazy.
And I had to clear waivers. So I cleared waivers at 5 o'clock on Monday. Signed a contract at 5:02 on Monday. Played at 7:30. Played 20 minutes. Had 12 points.
That is freaking crazy. Like that.
Yeah.
That's where you. I mean. People just have no idea, man. You know what I mean? That like for the effort, they just go, oh, look, Tolliver. He's in Memphis now. It's like, well, there's a lot that went into all that, you know, and there's a lot of emotions and different things that went into that. That is, God, that's nuts. I mean, you've been around a lot of good young players. Like, what? Tell me about. Give me your quick thoughts on Ja Morant. Like, what? I mean, is he as off the chain as he looks?
Yes, every bit. I mean, he's not. So he's as good as he looks, and he's also probably a better person
okay.
than you can imagine. Like, he's just a good kid, right? And what I love about Memphis, and, you know, I'll tell you a story kind of how the whole 10-day contract,
okay.
you know, worked out. I wrapped this, but, yo, like, he and Jaren Jackson
mm-hmm.
are, like, phenomenal kids. Like, phenomenal, right? And it's not just them. Like, there's all the guys on the team are dope, and they're all young. Right.
Yeah, it's a young team.
Young.
Yes.
Like, I was old head on that team, right? but everybody's dope, man. Everybody's good. They're obviously good at basketball.
Right.
But, like, they're just good, humble guys. And, like they're not – you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. There's just, like, there's a maturity about this group that I've never really been around a young group like that, right? And so, you know, the organization – phenomenal. Like, it shocked me. I was just like, I went there, I was like, hey, I just want an opportunity to play basketball.
Sure.
I was like, I don't really care who it's with, whatever. And I got there and I was like, I fell in love with the team, with the guys, with the organization. I'm like, oh, this is actually a really, really dope situation.
Right.
So we'll see. But anyways,
I'll give you the 10-day
contract, right? So 10 days, I look at the schedule, and of course, you know, at day 10, was the day before we would travel to go to Portland. Okay. Or so on the 10th day was the day we would travel to go to Portland, which is where my family had been that whole time.
Right.
So I'm thinking like, so if I don't sign another 10-day contract, I'm still not going to see my kids, not going to see my family for a while, right?
Right.
And so I go ball out, right? I do my thing over the 10-day contract. They're like, hey, we want to sign you to another one. Meanwhile, there's other teams that are, you know, calling and wanting to possibly rock with me. But I'm thinking like, all right, well, maybe after the second 10-day. I'm trying to see my family. I need to see my kids.
Right.
Plus, it's a good situation. I'm still playing. Everything's good. So, hey, I'm just going to rock this out, see what happens. And so, the 10th day, we fly to Portland. And the next morning, Rich Cho was like, hey, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we're going to sign your second 10-day and whatever. I'm like, bet. It'll be DocuSign, so it'll be easy. Long story short, well, that night, I'm at my crib in Portland with my family,
okay,
hanging out about to eat dinner. And I get the notification, NBA suspended.
Oh, you.
What the freak just happened, right? Like, but like, we just happened to be in Portland, right? Like, it's just the timing of it was perfect. And they were like, yo, we're trying to get back to Memphis as soon as possible. Because we had just landed in Portland,
okay,
like 2 hours before that. And they were like, if it's suspended, then everybody's like, well, we need to get home.
Right.
And so I'm like, well, I am home.
I'm staying
with my family. So
yeah,
I'm out. And so either way, I was like, even if it was like, oh, mandatory family or mandatory team stuff,
right,
that's cool. Technically, I'm not on the team no more after tomorrow morning. So so y'all go ahead, and I'm going to stay here. So it's just crazy timing. Like the way it worked out and played out, it was perfect. My family got a chance to, you know, I had a chance to just be with my family. And,
right.
And then, you know, after like a couple of weeks, we decided, or it wasn't even a couple of weeks, it was like a week by the time just everything started progressing the way it did.
Right.
And it just started getting crazier and crazier. We were like, you know what? Like, if this is going to be a long-term situation, we need to get home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just start calling in favors, bro, and making stuff happen. Got my dog shipped. I'm like, my car shipped, and just like got everything set up within like 24 hours, got everything done. I was like, wow.
Hey guys, quick break to talk to you guys about Pella Windows and Doors. And I want to make sure that you guys understand that Pella Windows of Omaha and Lincoln, they're following CDC guidelines during this coronavirus situation. They can safely serve any of your window and door needs in the showroom or in your home. All the employees at Pella and the customers are completing a COVID-19 questionnaire as provided by the CDC prior to entering the showroom, entering the office, and any potential customer's home. And all the employees are required to self-quarantine for a recommended 14 days if that individual comes into contact with someone who's tested positive, if they traveled anywhere outside of the Omaha-Lincoln area. Bottom line, they are taking all the necessary precautions to make sure that they are safe and you are safe so you can safely move forward with your window and door needs. And on top of all that, as a result of all this stuff with the coronavirus, Pella is offering temporary special financing options. They are now available. So, man, now is the time to take advantage of these special rates and put that value back into your home, and you have that peace of mind knowing that all the necessary safety protocol and precautions have been put into place by Pella, so you know the whole time you can feel safe. Give Pella a call, 402-493-1350, or check them out online at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. Back to Anthony Tolliver. Right in the nick of time, too, probably. You know what I mean? Because that stuff was... Everything happened so fast. I mean, so you were like sitting down for dinner when like the Rudy Gobert stuff all broke. Like, give me your. I'm always interested in people's like where they were when all that stuff happened, because I'm telling you, man, that was like when all that happened, and then you know then there's the Woj bomb that the season's canceled. That whole night is like everybody will kind of remember where they were that night.
Oh yeah, I mean because. So, you know, obviously Corona was around before that,
yes,
right? It wasn't
yes.
like
it's
it
not a
just
new
showed
thing.
Up that day, right?
Right.
So it was like there was all these new kind of regulations that were kind of taking place before we shut down. Media wasn't allowed in the locker room no more. Everything was done in the press conference room. Even our fans in Memphis, like they had an extra barricade between them and us. No more touching fans, no more doing autographs, no more pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you can wave at people and stuff like that, like, you know, air fist bump, whatever. But it was like, you know, it was like, it was already weird, right?
Yes.
And then, so on our way to Portland, you know, all this stuff, just like, you know, I remember that day, and while we're on the plane, even guys are getting notifications. This happened. Yo, that's happening. Blah, 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 right? Yo, they're talking about, you know, having after Thursday, because Thursday was the game against Portland. They're like, starting on Friday, all games in the NBA are going to be without fans.
Right.
Right. And so we thought that was outrageous. We're like, yeah, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Right. But they're like, we thought that was like worst case scenario. Man, we're going to be hooping, but we're going to be basically scrimmaging against these different teams, right? That's what we thought.
Right.
And then less than 24 hours later, it's like, nah, y'all ain't even doing that. Matter of fact, everybody go home. Matter of fact, everybody go home and get away from each other. Matter of fact, you can't even come into the practice facility or nothing. Like, go home and sit.
Yes.
Like,
it's crazy. Like, yeah, in a span of like 6 days. You know what I mean? Like, span of 6 days, it went from like, yeah, that's right. It was like, okay, no fans. Okay, everybody's going to stop for a little bit too. Everybody go home, shut their door, don't come out unless you are going like it is absolutely necessary. It's just, it's nuts. You know how fast it all moved, you know? And we're a little over a month into it, so we're all sort of adjusting to it. But in some ways, it still is crazy to say out loud kind of just what is exactly happening right now. You're the perfect guy to talk to about a bunch of this stuff because you're just the perfect dude.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you know, you're the perfect dude. Yes, you are the perfect human being. But I want to talk about this G League thing with Jalen Green, and then I also want to talk about Tyshawn Alexander because I'm sure you saw that Tyshawn officially signed with an agent. He's going to stay in the draft, and he's not coming back to Creighton after, you know, our boys balled out this year, AT. Like, those guys were good this year. It was wild to watch them play. Give me your thoughts on Tyshawn's decision, because he's probably like a borderline second round pick, and you know the contracts in the second round have changed. Like, a lot of the second round guys are getting, there's more guaranteed money getting thrown out there. Like, Kyrie was like the 36th or 38th pick. He got like a 2 years, $2 million contract with like maybe a third year player option. So a lot of those second round contracts are getting better, but it's just there's a gamble there, right? I mean, it's like he could go undrafted, or if he's maybe a late second round pick, he might not get that kind of guaranteed money. Whereas if he would have come back, he could have maybe played his way into being a guaranteed second rounder, maybe even a first rounder. How do you see Tyshawn's whole decision? Because you're seeing more of that where guys are leaving early that are like borderline second round picks.
Yeah. So just to be clear, I'm the person, the agent that he signed with, is it one of the agents that allows him to go back to school?
No, he is. I think he is officially, he is signed and staying in. He did not sign, it's a real agent. Like, he is, homeboy is.
Did he get any
feedback?
Yeah, did he get any feedback before he made that decision? I'm asking you because I don't
know. Yes, he did.
I wish all the guys, especially all the guys at least coming out of Creighton, would, you know, reach out to us.
Yes,
right?
That's what I'm saying. Right, I know.
We're all resources, right?
And right.
We have done that for some guys. I remember talking to Kyrie when he was coming out. I think I talked to Justin once. So different guys definitely have. Just getting certain guys, you know, reaching out to us. I mean, we're all open books. Right?
Yeah, you'd be the perfect guy. You're the better guy to talk to in all reality than Kyle or Doug, or because like you've gone overseas, you've been in the G League, you've signed 10-day contract, like you've done two-way contract, like you know all of what that world looks like. And so I don't know. I just yes, but to answer your question on Tyshawn, he went through he got feedback. My understanding was that his grade was kind of like late second round, and he's decided to stay in the draft. And what's hard is like he's going to get no pre-draft workouts or anything like that because of what's going on now.
No ability to even bump that up.
None. So it's one of those things. I get it. Like if someone just, you know, if Tyshawn were sitting here, he might be like, listen, AT, Nick, I'm ready to start my pro career. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's fine. You know, I totally get that. But I don't know. I just think, you know how it is. Like, you all of a sudden, you become a late second round picker. You go undrafted. All of a sudden, you're entering into the jungle, man, where there's a lot of dudes out there that are grinding to try and make it. And it's hard. I guess there's just a lot of things to consider with that.
Right. No, I mean, hey, man, it's you know, every man to himself, right? Like, yeah, be able to make his own decisions. And like you said, if he wants to just be, he says, hey, I just want to start my pro career. Fair enough, bro. That's
yep.
what you're going to do. All good. But, you know, for me, it's like, especially with Creighton having, you know, obviously big-time aspirations the following year and,
mm-hmm.
you know, being in a lot of preseason top four, top three, top block. I mean, that's – when you're in that discussion, you are a national championship contender,
mm-hmm.
period.
Period.
Right?
Yes.
So, you know, having that ability to do that, I mean, you know, like I said, I don't know all the factors and I don't know all the details, and it's hard for me to just in a vacuum.
I got you. Say, yeah, me too. Right.
You know,
it's
a great decision or it's a bad decision. You know, I don't know. I don't know his circumstances. And that's what I'm saying. I wish these guys would reach out to us more and use us as resources and bounce things off. It's like, all right, here's my situation. Bam, 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 bam. What do you think I should do?
Right, right.
Bam. All right, well, cool. This is what I think you should do. This is how I think you should approach it, right? But it is what it is. Like I said, it sucks for Creighton, you know, because
man, they had a chance, dude.
You know, that's going to be a big hit to, you know, to their aspirations to make a big leap for next year. But you know,
hey, yeah, it's hard.
Everybody's got to do what they got to do. So,
hey, it is pretty crazy. I might have text Doetzler this or something, like, you know, 10, 13 years ago, we were eating Arby's roast beef sandwiches, getting ready to play Northern Iowa, you know, on like on a Tuesday night. And, you know, here we are 13 years later, and Creighton's, you know, they finished the year ranked 7th. They won the Big East regular season title. Like, they were going to be like a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. Like, it's got to make, like, I know it makes me proud, but even you, like, you really helped lay down the foundation for this program. Like, damn, you got to be pretty proud of where the program's at right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just continued to get better and better, and just, you know, obviously had, you know, halfway just decent years here and there, right? You know, where there's down years, whatever. But,
sure.
But for the most part, I mean, it's just been like continuing to just have a great standard, right? And I'm just, you know, I'm definitely proud of the guys who are a part of it, and just, you know, proud to be a Creighton alumni, you know, especially whenever got guys out here, you know, representing as well.
A couple last things, we'll let you run, AT. This G League decision that Jalen Green made, the top high school kid, the G League is kind of expanding into this almost like developmental thing where Jalen Green got $500,000. He gets a scholarship for any university later if he wants it. He's going to get training out in Southern California with coaches and veteran players and play like 10 to 12 game schedule. He's opting to do that as opposed to go play college basketball. You know, I know the G League clearly is like, I don't know if they, I think they don't love seeing like LaMelo Ball and those dudes go over to Australia. I think that as, and RJ Hampton, I think, did it as well. I think that's as big of a thing as anything with this expanded G League thing. How do you see all that stuff? I mean, because it feels like we're headed towards another crossroads for where, like, college basketball, these, you know, McDonald's All-American five-star guys, if they want to go to college or if they want to do this G League thing or if they want to go overseas right away. How do you see all that as someone that's been all those things?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. It's all about money.
Yeah.
All across the board, every single one of those leagues, Australian League, overseas leagues, China, D League, G League, whatever you want to call it, college. I mean, it's going to be competition, but what does competition bring? It brings the best out of everybody, right? Like, to me, it's great that a person coming out of high school will have options, right? The G League option and stuff like that will eventually end up being the NBA option, but hopefully maybe it'll be both, right? Like, because some guys might be on the brink of being ready, but not ready. LeBron was ready, right? Mm-hmm. Certain guys, they're ready, right? So you're getting drafted right into the NBA, you know, whatever it may be. And that's going to happen again, you know, sooner than later. That might end up being, you know, where they kind of morph the draft thing, or you can get drafted out of high school. And then that basically you, it's like a, you know, we've already all talked about the farm league, like how baseball is, right?
Yep,
you have,
yep.
You know, you get drafted by the Mets. Okay, cool. Well, you're going to AAA or AA or single A until, you know, for a while, development. And then, you know, we might pop up after a year or two or whatever and into the regular league. Well, you know, I think NBA is going in that direction. And I think that it's going to be, you know, be seeing a lot more, even a lot more high school guys getting drafted, putting them into the farm system, and then, you know, popping them up whenever they're ready type thing. So, but then, you know, like I said, there'll be some guys who, I mean, the people who are going to hurt the most, NCAA,
yeah.
Right? A lot of these guys who are the top-notch guys, I mean, they might go to the college, but I would say majority of them aren't going to even, you know, consider it. Like, what, you're going to go to the NBA or, you know, G League and make a ton of money, or you can go to college.
Right.
Like, I mean, some guys might. Like I said, some guys still, I mean, they're still going to be college basketball. Don't get me wrong.
No, right? Question.
I'm just talking about the cream of the crop. The
yes.
Cream of the crop, there's going to be a, you know, they're going to get kind of shaved off the top, and then they're going to go to the professional ranks, and then, you know, the four-star recruits and three-star recruits would now be bumped up,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
to the top of the top in college basketball.
Yeah, I think, because I'm totally with you. And I think, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that college basketball, who needs Zion? Who needs Kevin Durant? I mean, come on. Like, Zion's year at Duke was great for college basketball. Kevin Durant at Texas was great. Melo at Syracuse was great. Like, come on. But at the same time, like, mm-hmm. I almost think a bigger issue isn't the elite high school kids not coming to college. I think the bigger issue is the current college basketball players leaving early to be undrafted or leaving early to be second-round picks. Like, I almost think that's a bigger issue for the long term of college basketball as it is that a five-star McDonald's All-American never comes to college. That's kind of how I would say that's.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what we talked about earlier was, you know, the NCAA has implemented some new rules,
yep.
where, you know, obviously those guys, some of those guys can sign with different agencies. Certain agencies have the ability to sign a player, but then still have them go back to college and stuff like that. That, I think that's the purpose of that, is to kind of prevent some of those situations from happening.
Right.
Guys still have the ability to go sign with another agent that doesn't have the ability to go back to college. What that's their prerogative, right? I mean, You can't possibly fix it all the way to where you protect them from themselves.
Yeah.
All the way.
Right.
Like, guys, people are going to make their own decisions based on what they feel like they want to do. So you put the opportunities in place that you feel like are the best for them. And you say, hey, these are your options. And, you know, you can protect yourself by doing this. But, you know, if you don't, then it's on you. And, no, there's going to be a whole lot of casualties. Career casualties, not people, hopefully, but career casualties by people making poor decisions and coming out too early and stuff like that. But I agree with you. That can be a pretty massive mistake whenever guys do that.
okay, get you out of here on this one. You and I are the same age. Tell me you watched the Last Dance, part one and part two of Jordan's documentary last week. Did you watch it?
Of course, bro. Come on now.
Yeah, give it to me. I mean, like, were you as – I was, like, drooling the whole time. I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah, so I'm you know, obviously, anybody I think our age is probably a Michael Jordan buff. Either they – put it this way. Majority of our people, the people our age, love him. Then there's the faction of people who hate him because he beat their team, right? Like that thing, right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
My cousin from Detroit still doesn't like Michael Jordan to this day. Even though they beat up on him for multiple years, but then he basically destroyed that entire era, right?
Yes.
That Bad Boys era, because, you know, they broke up after that. So he still to this day doesn't like Michael Jordan. But yeah, I mean, I've read multiple books on Jordan. I've read a book on Dennis Rodman. I haven't read anything on Scotty, but, you know, seen just about everything, you know, to do that has to do with Michael Jordan that's ever been on TV or movie theaters, anything. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's crazy. I know a lot of the stuff that is happening on, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah. In the documentary.
It doesn't keep me from absolutely loving it.
Right.
It's still awesome. It's still great. But it's just like, it's just, you know, learning. There are some things I'm learning, though. That's what keeps me coming back, right? You know, I didn't realize, even through the books and everything else, maybe I missed it, but I didn't realize that Scotty actually asked for a trade.
Neither did I. I forgot about that.
I was like,
I know.
That's fascinating.
Crazy.
Holy crap, I never knew that. You know?
Yeah, I know. Because what I was saying was, like, when you're the age we were, what we'd have been like, what, like 14 or something like that, when all that stuff's going, like, you don't think about contracts and front office stuff. You're just like, Bulls are really good. Jordan's a baller. I'm watching Sports Center. I don't care about anything else. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't, like,
yep.
A lot of that stuff didn't make it to your conversations over pizza rolls and fruit roll-ups and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't care about any of that stuff. And so I'm with you. Like, I'd forgotten about Scotty asking for a trade. You know, it's just amazing to think that these dudes were backed, that they had won 5 championships. They had just won 2 in a row. And it's understood heading into that season. It's like, this is it. Phil Jackson's last year. Everything's, it's wild. Like, it's idiotic.
Right? Like,
yes.
To me, the people who were in charge of the freaking Bulls, and we all know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, dude, come on. Like, you guys are seriously talking about, oh, maybe we should start rebuilding now. Since when do you rebuild in the middle of a freaking dynasty?
I don't know.
Like, you literally are doing what you play for.
Yes.
You're winning championships. Why would you, like, at very least, they owed Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, the core guys, right?
Yes.
They owed them the opportunity to win as many as they could until they couldn't, right?
That's it.
That's what was owed. Phil Jackson should have been the head coach of that team until whatever year they lost.
Yes.
Like, they should, it should have just never happened until they lost. Once they lost, by all means, freaking blow the whole thing up.
Right.
Right. But it's like, dude, why in the world, when you just won 5 out of 7, insane.
It's nuts.
Why would you just go blow it up?
I know.
Including, like, you have the best player in the world.
Yes.
Clearly, best player in the world on your team. And Phil Jackson is the coach, and he's saying, I'm not playing for anybody else but Phil Jackson. And you're like, it doesn't matter. That just shows you how much pride was involved.
They wanted
attention. They wanted the notoriety. And it's like, bro, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, y'all did that because of freaking pride. That's crazy.
Pride and ego and wanting credit. You know, like, when you care about where the credit gets delved out, more so than the actual team success, like, you got problems. And that's pretty much what was, like, how hard is it to walk into the front office and say, okay, here's the thing. We're going to redo Scotty's contract. We're redoing Phil. He's staying. So Jordan's happy. And we're going to ride this. Like, it's not like they had to do a bunch of things. They just needed to make sure Phil was good and Scotty was good, and they were going to be fine. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even like it was an impossible, like the Warriors situation with KD and Steph and all, like everything was going to come to a head with everybody wanting a ton of money. Like this wasn't necessarily totally like that. Like I felt like they could have made everything work if they wanted to, but like you said, absolutely, ego, pride, all that stuff gets into the way. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Pride comes before the fall, you know, and yep, they wanted to prove that it was them, you know, that won the championships or it was there. He was like Jerry Krause, even his quote of a player, individual players by themselves don't win championships. Organizations win championships. Little crap.
Yeah, Michael Jordan. You ever heard of Michael Jordan?
like don't. Once again, don't get it twisted. Yes, does it require some maneuvering from front office people and a good head coach and stuff like that? Yeah, I mean, yes, but right, even the head coach part, it's like, does it require a great head coach? I don't know if I even would say that.
Right.
If you have good enough players, it doesn't require a great head coach to win a championship.
No.
you need somebody who's decent, right?
Yeah, like, just manage it.
Decent?
Yeah.
If you have enough talent, you can win a championship. Right. Like,
right,
you know, how you get that talent, it could be through draft, could be through trades, could be through free agency. Now, you know, some of that obviously is on the, you know, the head coach or the GM and front office, right? So, yeah, it all is together.
Right.
But to make it sound like, oh, you know, we should get more credit than we do, it's like, wow, son, you got freaking MJ and Scotty, like two of the probably best five players, six players in the NBA at that time,
right,
easily, right? So, like, no, it wasn't, you know, little Jerry Krause. It was it was MJ and Pippen, bro. Like,
yeah,
come on.
Do you think, I mean, and then I'll let you run, I promise, here. With being around a young team, and you guys probably, you and Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson and Dylan Brooks, you guys probably didn't talk specifically about this, but like, do those guys get it with Jordan, or are they more like, no, LeBron's the best, or no, Kobe's the best? Like, do you think a lot of those young cats like are like, oh man, he had 63 on Boston in his second playoff game ever in 86? Oh my God. Like, do you think they respect
Jordan?
Okay.
They respect Jordan, but they idolize Kobe, LeBron.
Okay,
that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like they don't. I haven't. At least I haven't heard it. Like, I haven't heard any of those guys, like the younger generations, disrespecting MJ. Like, you know, by, you know, discounting who he was, what he did, how he worked, but, you know, but they definitely elevate Kobe and elevate LeBron because that's who they grew up watching. Right. And that's fair.
Right.
I can't really knock him. You know, what's funny, you know, RIP Kobe, but right, it's like, it's just funny to me whenever people, the younger generation, say, oh, well, Kobe was better than MJ. I'm like, what you don't get is that Kobe was a replica,
yes,
of MJ.
Yes.
And a less successful,
yes,
replica of MJ in every category. So it's like literally every category, right?
Yeah.
He didn't do well in. And now, don't get me wrong, still one of the greatest players of all time, right? Like,
right,
for sure, replicating MJ or not, still one of the best players of all time. You know, like the only, like, yeah, maybe he uses left hand better than MJ. You know what I'm saying? Like, that.
I'll give you that. If you want to have that, that's fine.
As far as I can get, I can't, yeah, really give him much else. Like,
no,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just going off facts and stats. Like,
yeah,
facts and stats is hard to, like, beat. Like, it's just nostalgia for these young guys, right? Kobe's better because that's, you know, I've seen it. Like, oh, he's a better scorer. How?
But we,
you know, like, look at the freaking averages. Like, how is he a better scorer than Jordan?
Yeah, it's crazy. I know.
Like,
well, that's what people are such prisoners of the moment. And,
yeah,
you know, people, and I, maybe this is the first sign that I'm getting old and getting on a rocking chair and all that stuff. But like, everybody wants to act like, I mean, prior to 2003, there were a lot of really good players. You know, Jordan was really good. Hakeem was really good. Penny Hardaway was really good. Shaq was really good. Charles Barkley was really good. Even with you, like, I saw some Creighton Blue Jay banter like poll on like the greatest centers ever at Creighton. And like, I get it, Justin Patton was a lottery pick, but they had like Justin above you. And it's like, Justin did it for 1 year. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. JP was a, like, but that's what it is. It's like, well, I remember JP and he played a couple years ago, so Justin's better. It's like, well, I mean, I don't know. It's like, it's hard. Like, it's one thing to do it 1 year. It's another thing to do it multiple years. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's kind of how it is for everybody. Everything, whatever's happening in right. the moment's the best.
Right. No, for sure. No, that's why I said it is what it is. Like, I'm not about to jump on nobody for thinking, you know, LeBron, Kobe's better than MJ. That's great that you feel that way.
Yeah,
buddy.
I'm so sick of that debate to a certain extent. Everybody's like, you know, in some ways, like Kobe's passing made me realize how dumb all that stuff is. It's like, why don't we spend time like appreciating these dudes? You know, the whole line of like, why we never give people roses while they're alive. Like, why don't we just appreciate these people rather than try and bring them down? Like, I can see already it happening with Jordan and his documentary is people are trying to reignite that Jordan LeBron debate. It's like, well, let's just like LeBron's a freak of nature, one of the five greatest players ever. And let's appreciate him and let's appreciate Jordan. Like, we can do both at once.
Yep. Didn't have to be a competition between the two. Both are dope. Both are great at what they do. Both are top players of all time. So let's just enjoy it instead of debate it.
Anthony Tolliver, go be a businessman, go work out in your gym, go be a dad, go do all that stuff. Appreciate your time, my man.
I'm in.
All right, my thanks to Pella Windows and Doors. If you're thinking about a new window or a new front door, now is the perfect time. Give Pella a call at 402-493-1350 or check them out online at PellaOmaha.com. We will see you next time on the Nick Bob Podcast.
Production.